taking their place in a long, true line of everyday Americans.
Helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, this is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome to the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. People ask me, Paul, why do you study the Constitution? Why do you think everybody should study the Constitution? Why is it so important that we actually read and study the Constitution? Well, that's a very good question. So let me see if I can give you an answer. Now, the first thing I want to ask you actually is, how many of you have played Monopoly? You know, the board game, Monopoly, Park Place, Do Not Pass Go, all that fun stuff. Well, how many of you have actually read the rules? See, according to one study, 68% of players of Monopoly have never actually read the rules of the game. They're simply told what the rules are, and this gets passed down through, you know, through families and friends, and it's kind of like a giant game of telephone. One person read the rules, and well, they described it to somebody else, and they described it to somebody else, and they described it to somebody else, and pretty soon, the game you're playing with your friends and family bears little resemblance to the actual game as it was created and described. Now, this may be an inconvenience. This may be a reason why you don't like the game. But what happens when it's not a game that you're playing with, but an actual country? When it's actually the United States, the government that we created, what happens when we don't read the rules for that quote-unquote game? George Washington said, and since the preservation of the sacred fire of liberty and the destiny of the Republican model of government are justly considered as deeply, perhaps as finely staked on the experiment entrusted to the hands of the American people. See, when our founding fathers created the United States, when they created what we now call the federal government, they entrusted into our hands its operation and its future. But you see, we've been trained, we've been taught that we don't have to actually read the rules. We don't have to actually read the Constitution. We need to leave that up to experts. Well, there's just one little problem. See, when we let the experts define what the rules are rather than the actual rules that we've written down, we're no longer in control. And we start seeing governments do not only what they're not allowed to do, but what they're actively prohibited from doing. And it's bad enough when we see governments doing that. But what's even worse is when we, the people, start demanding and expecting that governments do what they are not authorized to do. In fact, to do what they're prohibited from doing. A couple of examples. Now, most of you have heard about the recent hurricane that hit Louisiana and many other places, but Louisiana really got hit hard. So sure enough, in a little photo op, President Biden goes down to visit Louisiana and to see what's going on. Okay, that's what presidents do. But during this, he promised federal aid. He promised federal money to help Louisiana in the aftermath of Hurricane Ida. Well, Paul, you know, isn't that a good thing? I mean, these poor people, they've had so much destruction, so much devastation. Shouldn't the federal, isn't it the role of the federal government to jump in and help? And the answer is no. The Constitution of the United States actually forbids the federal government from spending money, from collecting taxes to spend money, except for a few things. What are those few things? Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1 of the Constitution says the Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises to pay the debts, provide for the common defense, and general welfare of the United States. So there are really only three things that Congress is allowed to collect taxes for. First is, to pay their debts. They've borrowed money to do things, All right, so Congress has borrowed a lot of money to do things you're not authorized to do, but let's just start right off. The Congress has borrowed money. Therefore, they have the power to collect taxes to pay for the debts of the United States. Easy enough. They can pay for the common defense of the United States, right? That's easy enough. But it's this general welfare clause that really has been abused because most Americans don't understand it. Well, you know, Paul, it's, Louisiana got hit hard. It's to the general welfare that we're spending this money, except that's not what the Constitution says, and that's certainly not what it means. It says general welfare of the United States, and that, by the way, is capitalized. That is the proper noun for the Union. Congress is not allowed to spend money for the general welfare of the states or of the people, but only for the general welfare of the Union as a whole, what we would today call the federal government. But you see, that's not how it's treated nowadays. Nowadays, the federal government is treated like a giant piggy bank where we can just take money for whatever deed we want. But let's take a look at some early debates about the general welfare clause. In fact, I'm going to go all the way back to 1792 and a bill called the Cod Fisheries Bill. And during the debate, there were several interesting statements made. The first came from a Mr. Giles, who said, "The present section of the bill," he continued, "appears to contain a direct bounty on occupations. And if that be its object, it is the first attempt as yet made by this government to exercise such authority. And its constitutionality struck him in a doubtful point of view. For in no part of the Constitution could he, in express terms, find a power given to Congress to grant bounties on occupations. The power is neither directly granted nor, by any reasonable construction that he could give, annexed to any other specified in the Constitution." Now, Mr. Giles was noting that the bill, the presenter of this bill, was asking for something new. There was a financial issue with the cod fisheries. They were having a hard time, as I understand it, having people to go out and fish for cod, which was a very important staple, especially in the Northeast. So the federal government, the House of Representatives, proposed bounties. They proposed to pay people to actually go out and fish for cod. And Mr. Giles noted that there's no power in the Constitution that either directly or indirectly authorizes that. Later in the debate, Mr. Madden said, "It is to be recollected that the terms common defense and general welfare, as here used, are not novel terms first introduced in this Constitution. They are terms familiar in their construction and well known to the people of America. They are repeatedly found in the old Articles of Confederation where, although they are susceptible of as great a latitude as can be given them by context here, it was never supposed or pretended that they conveyed any such power as is now assigned to them. On the contrary, it was always considered clear and certain that the old Congress was limited to the enumerated powers and that the enumeration limited and explained the general terms." In other words, Mr. Madison is pointing out, listen, why do we have a specific list of enumerated powers if Congress can do whatever they want for the general welfare? Now, he went on later to say, "If Congress can employ money indefinitely to the general welfare and are the sole and supreme judges of the general welfare, they may take the care of religion into their own hands. They may appoint teachers in every state, county, and parish and pay them out of the public treasury. They may take into their own hands the education of children, establishing in like manner schools throughout the Union. They may assume the provision of the poor. They may undertake the regulation of all roads other than post roads. In short, everything from the highest object of state legislation down to the most minute object of police would be thrown under the power of Congress. For every object I have mentioned would admit of the application of money and might be called, if Congress pleased, provisions for the general welfare." This is the trap we've fallen into. And the very idea that not only is President Biden offering money that is not authorized by the Constitution, but the very fact that people expect it, that the people of Louisiana are waiting for it. They're sitting on their hands waiting for the federal government to show up and help them and provide for them and give them stuff, shows that our lack of education about the Constitution, our lack of understanding of what it actually says, has led us not into a free and fair government, a free and fair country, Rather, we will be ruled by those who are best at bribing the people with other people's money. As Mr. Madison concluded, he said, "In short, sir, without going farther into the subject, which I should not have here touched at all, but for the reasons already mentioned, I venture to declare it as my opinion that, were the power of Congress to be established in the latitude contended for, it would subvert the very foundations and transmute the very nature of the limited government established by the people of America. And what inferences might be drawn or what consequences ensue from such a step is incumbent on us all to consider." Well, I wish they had. Well, at least they did in 1792. I wish subsequent Congresses had. Because now we have the American people sitting around waiting for government to spend money on them. Don't believe me. How about a recent poll that showed 80% of Americans support the infrastructure bill? Or at least the proposals to fund things like road repair, bridge repair, ports, drinking water. 80% of Americans expect the federal government to pay for that, even though that's not a power delegated to the federal government. See, other than post roads, the federal government has no authority to fund infrastructure. Now, you might turn around and say, "Well, but Paul, I mean, it's you know, federal stuff." Yeah, except the 10th Amendment says any power not delegated to the United States by the Constitution doesn't belong to them. So other than looking at post roads, there is no infrastructure that the Congress is authorized to spend money on. They can spend money on federal, you know, forts and magazines and needful buildings. They can spend money on post offices and post roads, but that's it. So now the debate isn't over, wait a second, does Congress actually have the authority to spend money to repair roads, bridges, ports, and drinking water pipes? But what are we going to call infrastructure? When 80% of Americans want the federal government to spend money it's not authorized to spend, where does that leave freedom and liberty? Where does that leave states' rights and states' responsibilities? Now, don't get me wrong. What's happened in Louisiana is tragic. And I believe the American people, we are in general a generous people, that we should do all that we can. I know of many organizations, private organizations, that have gone to Louisiana to help. That's wonderful. It's not the job of the federal government. It's not their, they have no legal authority to the tax dollars of the people of Ohio and New Mexico and Montana to pay for the damages in Louisiana. And that may sound harsh. But while it's not the role of the federal government to do that, I do believe it is the role of the American people to help where and how we can. But when we get the federal government to force other people to pay for what we think is a good idea, that's greed. That's extortion. And that is what the American government has come to. And in fact, it's what many of the American, apparently 80% of the American people, are more than willing to be bribed with other people's money as long as they get something that they like, something they think is useful to them. The American people are just as guilty of bribery as the government officials who are offering the bribes. But it's not just the federal government that has lost its way. Many in state governments have as well. For example, let's talk about Florida. Now, many people have talked about the wonderful things that Governor DeSantis has done. He's done a lot of great things, I admit it. But Florida is about to institute a $5,000 fine for businesses that require proof of vaccination in order to enter. Now, I know there's been a lot of discussion and debate about vaccine mandates and mask mandates. And, you know, it's... You, if you've listened to me for any point of time, a public mask mandate is illegal. It violates the Constitution. It violates, therefore violates federal law. And I can understand the frustration of people who, you know, you have states that issue mandates and you have other states that are prohibiting mandates. But I think Florida has gone too far. Because they didn't just say, listen, you can't have a mask mandate on a public entity. If you take public funds, if you're publicly funded, you can't have a mask or vaccine mandate. But they've gone saying, you know what, if you're a private business, We're going to deprive you of your property. We're going to fine you if you require your customers to show proof of vaccination. Now, again, on the one hand, I understand the sentiment. The problem is that's not a power. That's a power forbidden to the state of Florida, in fact, to any state. You see, the 14th Amendment says, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Well, fining someone for determining who is allowed to enter their property deprives them of control of their property. And since this was not done in a way that protects the individual property owner's rights, it was done without due process. This law is a federal crime. Anybody who attempts to enforce this law is committing a federal crime. Now, don't get me wrong. I will not do business with any entity that requires me to get a vaccine, an experimental drug, in order to do business with them. I simply refuse to. But it's one thing for me to say I won't do business with them. It's quite a different for me to get the government to bully them into compliance, to threaten them. And since we don't know our Constitution, we don't recognize this. There are people cheering this because they despise vaccine mandates and vaccine passports. Fine. But what you're talking about is a dictatorial rule that says you no longer own your property. And if they can use that power to deprive another business owner of their property without due process for a vaccine passport that you despise, what happens when they want to take over your business and determine who does business with you, who you're allowed to do business with because of something else? What happens when, say, a Christian business owner is forced to participate in a same-sex marriage, or is forced to violate their religious beliefs because they're open for business? I'm not saying denying an individual the right to do business in your house, to enter your business. I'm talking about being forced to commit to do things you're not authorized, whether it be take photographs, arrange flowers, create a custom cake. What happens when your business is now regulated to the point where you're told what business you can do, who you're allowed to do business with? What happens when a kosher Jewish deli or a halal Muslim restaurant is told they must serve pork? You say, Paul, that's ridiculous. Is it really? Is it really that far-fetched that when someone says, I have the right to do business with you, you cannot force me to deprive me of access to your private property simply because you want to be, you think vaccines are a good idea? How is that really any different than saying you can't deny someone the chance to have bacon with their breakfast simply because you don't serve pork? The difference is in scale, not in type. But you see, again, we don't know our Constitution. We don't understand our rules. We don't understand our laws. So we not only allow these to happen, in many cases we cheer. Or how about the Shelby County schools out near Memphis, Tennessee, that now want to control the free speech, at least on social media, of all their employees? That's right. At a board meeting, they put in a policy. Now, they say it's to eliminate disruption to school and district operations, but they want to regulate their employees' social media. So they say if you work for the school, you don't have free speech. They want to monitor, they want to control what you say in blogs, podcasts, comments, messages, video and audio recordings, anything you post. They're prohibited from posting anything that the school board says creates a disruption. I'm assuming that would include criticizing the school board for banning free speech. But again, we don't understand our constitutions. So many people are crying, First Amendment, except this is not a First Amendment issue because Congress didn't make this rule. The First Amendment starts out, Congress shall make no law. Congress didn't do this. This is a violation of the Tennessee Constitution. But again, since we don't know the constitutions, we don't know the law, we don't know when we're being, you know, when we're just plain wrong. These school board members don't realize they're infringing on free speech, and the people who are complaining about it don't realize that this is a state issue, not a federal issue. It's only a federal issue under the 14th Amendment because they're being deprived of the property in their rights without due process. But we don't know. So we have all of these people making all these grandiose claims, many of which are wrong, and we just follow along because, well, we never read the rules. We don't know. We don't understand. And then we're surprised when people go off and do these things. And we're surprised that freedom and liberty are disappearing in America. When we, the American people, are as complicit in the destruction of the sacred fire of liberty as any of those politicians we like to point our fingers at. Now let's take a look back at the federal government, actually the interaction between the state and federal governments. See, I found this article that there are at least 20 states right now whose attorneys general are suing the Department of Education. Now, I want you to stop and think about that because the Department of Education is not authorized by the Constitution. So there's problem number one. But the attorneys general, rather than looking at this saying, wait a second, the U.S. Department of Education is not authorized by the Constitution, therefore we don't care what it says. It's meaningless. It's hot air. But no, we're going to continue this charade that the Department of Education actually is legitimate, even though it isn't. It is not. Education is not a power delegated to the United States by the Constitution. Therefore, it doesn't belong to the United States. So U.S. Department of Education is criminal. But why are these AGs suing? Well, because this illegal Department of Education is setting up rules over things like transgender restrooms and pronoun guidance. Now, again, these are all illegal acts, right? So the Department of Education has no legal authority. Title IX, which they're claiming gives them the ability to avoid discrimination based on gender preference gender assumptions, they call it dysphoria. I call it a mental issue. Except that's not what Title IX says. Title IX talks specifically about discrimination based on sex, which is exactly what Department of Education is actually trying to do, is trying to discriminate on people based on their sex. See, if you're a boy and you realize you're a boy and you can tell you're a boy, then you're not allowed in the girls' room. I don't care how you feel. I don't care what you think. You're not allowed in the girls' room. That's what Title IX was there for. And vice versa. I mean, the idea that if you're a girl and you want to go in the boys' room, well, that's not allowed either. That's the Title IX specifically says you cannot discriminate against the young ladies who want private bathrooms because for our entire history, we've made the logical distinction between boys and girls and that certain private acts are to be done in private and not in a same-sex environment. But they want to discriminate against that. But then they go in and say, they're talking about pronoun guidance. So now you have the Department of Education, an illegal department, this time actually violating the First Amendment because they're saying that Congress has given them the authority to control people's speech, to tell people what they can and cannot say, to deprive them of their freedom of speech, which is a violation of the First Amendment. By the way, it's also a violation of the Fifth Amendment because you're depriving them of their liberty and the property they have and their rights without due process of law. So all these attorneys general that are hoping and praying the courts find that the Department of Education stepped too far rather than realizing, hey, wait a second, the Tenth Amendment says the DOE has no legal reason to exist. Therefore, it is empty. It is void. It is meaningless. So we don't have to pay any attention to it. I would be much happier if these 20 attorneys general said, wait a second, the DOE doesn't have any legal basis. Congress is not authorized to create a Department of Education. It's void. It's an act of Congress repugnant to the Constitution. Marbury versus Madison, that says it's void. It is an act of a delegated authority contrary to its commission. Alexander Hamilton, Federalist Papers number 78. It's void. Therefore, I'd much rather have them send a letter going, you know what? We're just not going to pay any attention to you because you're void. Your issues and mandates and fact sheets are meaningless. They are empty. We don't care because you are not authorized to do this. In fact, you are prohibited from doing this. But you see, the attorneys general don't do this because, well, they're all lawyers. And they don't teach the Constitution in law school. They don't teach it in college. They don't teach it in high school. We don't teach it to ourselves. So all the Americans who saw that article and said, yay, 20 states are standing up, realizing that no, 20 states are bending the knee to the judicial branch of the federal government, praying that they will get their way. Not realizing that what that Department of Education is empty, meaningless. The states are not bound to follow it because it violates the supreme law of the land. Until we read and understand the Constitution, what it truly says and what that truly means, we will continue to be ruled by executive agencies that have no legal basis, by courts that are acting more like oligarchs and rulers than they are the judges and arbiters of facts and law in a case. As much as we complain about the state of Washington and our state houses, the reason they are that way is because we, the people, are almost universally ignorant about the Constitution. And we are more than happy to throw the Constitution out the window if we get our way, which makes us just as guilty as every other political movement that uses power to get their way. And until we, the American people, learn what the Constitution actually says, to recognize the legitimate role of the federal government, in the case of our state governments, what our state constitutions say are the legitimate roles of our state governments, we will not be the land of the free. We will not be self-governed. We will be ruled by oligarchs we have placed over ourselves. That's not freedom. That's not a republic. That is a self-contained, that is a self-made oligarchy. We have turned ourselves into subjects of government. And we did it freely. We did it of our own volition. And then we whine and complain about it because we are universally ignorant of how our governmental systems are designed. Now, before I head off to break, I want to remind you that as an America Out Loud listener, if you go to healthycell.com/outloud, you can get 20% off your first order of this new way of dealing with vitamins. You want better sleep, you want more focus, you want more energy. You're tired of dealing with pills or energy drinks or these little energy shots. You want a simple way to do it? Check out healthycell.com. You can live that healthier lifestyle without the pills. They use a simple, easy-to-use, travel-ready gel pack. Take it as a shot, mix it in a drink. They have different formulas for what you and your body need. Now, I've been using the Immune Super Boost because, especially while traveling, I'm exposed to a lot more diseases, and I really don't want to get sick. And the Immune Super Boost helped. I was on the road for almost 2 weeks. I felt great. I didn't get sick. I didn't get the sniffles, coughs, nothing. And again, as an America Out Loud listener, Go to healthycell.com/outloud, get 20% off your first order. Try the Immune Super Booster, any of their products. You'll find them easy to use, you'll find them effective, and you'll find it a much better way of living a free life that is also a healthy life.
My fellow Americans, how did you feel watching footage on the news of domestic terrorists looting our stores and burning our cities down? You were probably disgusted and angry as much as I was. It's disturbing what's going on. Well, you'd be shocked to know that your shopping habits are supporting these extremists. Companies like Amazon, Nike, Disney, FedEx, it's an endless list, and they've been supporting these radical groups. Let's stop supporting companies that fund these extremist groups. We can all do our part. Visit shoptotheright.com and you'll find businesses in a nationwide database and companies that are aligned with our American values. Visit shoptotheright.com and let's all make a difference.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support, delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
AmericaOutloud.com. Simply put, we're patriots who believe in Ronald Reagan's vision of a shining city on a hill. From sea to shining sea, you can listen in on iHeartRadio. Our free apps are on Apple, Android, or Alexa, or our world-class media player. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study, and today we're talking about government without rules. Well, the rules exist, it just seems that nobody reads them. And that includes the American people. So the American people have no clue. Think of it this way. Every 2 years, we hold an election of one sort or another, where we are hiring people to execute our authority in the federal government. Yet, since most of us never read the Constitution, we have no clue what their job actually is. So then, how do we go about judging whether or not they're doing a good job? I mean, if they truly are our employees, both the bureaucrats and the elected officials, and every 2 years, well, or 6 years or 4 years, you know, they every time there's an election, you've basically got a job review for an elected official. Well, if we don't know what their job is, how do we know if they're doing a good job, whether or not they deserve to keep that job? See, that's what comes from this general idea of ignorance. So when we see an article like this one that talks about Joe Biden issue an executive order to mandate certain training, we look at this and go, some of us go, yay, and some of us go, tisk, tisk. We never ask, does President Biden actually have the authority to do that? Now, again, if you're talking about the executive branch, Joe Biden has all the executive power of the United States is vested in the president. Not in the executive branch, in the president. So President Biden does have a lot of authority over this, but is he authorized to spend money on training for diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility? That's really the question. The president cannot spend money unless it's appropriated by Congress. Which means if Congress has authorized the president to spend money on training and given the president's sole discretion on what is to be, what the training is to include, well, isn't that our fault for hiring these people who leave a president completely unchecked? Now, on the other hand, if we did authorize, you know, if Congress did authorize a president to include diversity, equity, and inclusion and accessibility training in federal hiring and employment, well, isn't that our fault because we hired these people to exercise this authority? What they've done in our name. Now, whether you think that diversity and equity and all that stuff is a proper tool for training in the federal government or not, the question is, who authorized it? And ultimately, it comes down to the American people. Which means if you agree with this, well, then you're fine. Hey, yeah, you know, my question is, why didn't Congress do this? Why didn't Congress say, listen, when we're spending money on training federal employees, you must include this? Why is it the president acting as a dictator simply saying, nope, we're going to include this? Because what happens is what we've seen happen through the last several administrations. One administration sets up a policy, the next administration, you know, revokes that policy and puts one that's diametrically opposed. See, that's not liberty and order. That's close to anarchy. That is rather what Washington warned us about in his farewell address when he talked about the natural dissension common to party politics. So that's what he meant when he said the alternate domination of one faction over another, sharpened by the spirit of revenge, natural to party dissension, which in ages, different ages and countries has perpetuated the most horrid enormities, is itself a frightful despotism. See, no longer are we the people actually in charge. We hire people, and based on their party positions, they will institute whatever rules they want. And this comes because we don't understand the Constitution. Because we never bothered to read it. We never bothered to study it. We simply assumed that the government would teach us what the Constitution says, never thinking that, well, since the Constitution is a limitation on government, they might not want to teach us what it actually says. Which is why I find it interesting that the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, released a statement that said he's going after the Texas Pro-Life Heartbeat Act. Why? Well, because it restricts abortion. Well, okay. First of all, isn't that a state issue? Second of all, you're telling me that protecting a living child in the womb is anathema to the role of the federal government? Well, technically, Merrick Garland said that it's a violation of the FACE Act, the Freedom of Access to Clinical Entrances Act. I love the way they come up with these stupid names. But that act prohibits intentionally injuring, intimidating, or interfering with, or attempting to injure, intimidate, or interfere any person by force, threat of force, or physical obstruction because that person is or has been or in order to intimidate such person or any other person or any class of persons from attaining reproductive health services. Okay, that's all well and good, Mr. Garland, but the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States, says that a person shall not be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. And once you have a heartbeat, you have a life. So to deprive someone of their life without due process of law is the oath you took, Mr. Garland. You swore to support the Constitution of the United States, which supersedes any act of Congress. Oh, don't believe me? read Article 6, Clause 2 of the Constitution, which says, "This Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby, anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding." So the question is, okay, the FACE Act says you cannot be, they can't keep you from going to a clinic for reproductive health services. Well, why are reproductive health services different than any other health service? Because you like killing babies. You support killing babies. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. But you're telling me that this law supersedes the Constitution that says that the life must be protected. You cannot be deprived of life without due process of law. I'm sorry, Mr. Garland, but that fails on the face of it. Now, again, I've already talked about the Texas law and the issues I do believe exist with parts of that Texas law. But this is nothing but intimidation. This is using the federal government to intimidate the state of Texas. And I believe the judicial branch, while it's going through, because this law is still being reviewed in federal court. So, to me, this is nothing. This is plain old. This is Merrick Garland using intimidation in an attempt to, what he says, is to stop intimidation. But again, since we know so little about the Constitution, we don't realize that once life is detected, the governments, both state and federal, are required. It is their purpose to protect the rights of that unique person, including their right to life, their right to not be deprived of life without due process of law. But again, Merrick Garland isn't the only one who has no clue how the federal government is designed. Amy Klobuchar has become the latest in a group of Democratic activists that want to get rid of the filibuster and pack the courts in order to get in order to promote abortion. Actually, it says to guarantee the right of a woman to kill her unborn child. I mean, I know it sounds rough, but that's exactly what they're talking about. Now, here's what's interesting. I've heard a lot of discussion, debates about this. Oh my God, they're going to get rid of the filibuster. Well, you realize the filibuster isn't part of the Constitution. It's not. You can search the Constitution all you want. You're not going to find a filibuster, and you're not going to find the idea of a 60-vote majority to do most anything in the Senate. There are certain things, like it needs to be three-quarters of the Senate to do certain things and two-thirds to do certain things. But this idea of a filibuster doesn't exist in the Constitution. That's a rule of the Senate. And if the Senate wants to change that rule, well, okay, that's fine. I know a lot of people will complain because it's been used to allow the minority to rule the majority in the Senate. And it's been used that way for decades. And, that's not my concern. It's when we start talking about senators not only trying to get rid of the filibuster. Because let's face it, the only reason Senator Klobuchar wants to get rid of the filibuster is because she can't get her way. She's seeing, in this case, abortion bills that are not getting the 60-vote majority, and she's not getting her way, so she wants to change the rules. And again, since most Americans have no clue how the Senate actually works, what the Constitution actually says about the Senate, they're listening to people who are, they're basically manipulating the facts to get what they want. But you see, most of them are not simply talking about getting rid of the filibuster. They're also talking about packing the court. Because so much of our issues, so many of our political issues actually don't come out of the legislature. It comes out of the courts. Think about it. The right, the power to get an abortion, homosexual marriage, a lot of the transgender issues, a lot of the freedom of speech and freedom of religion issues, they're not being decided in the legislature. They're not being decided by the people or their representatives. No, no, no. They're being decided in the courts. In the courts. To the point where it, at least it appears that, you know, he who controls the courts control the country. Think about it. In 2016, what was the big calling, one of the big calling cards of who do you vote for president or for electors for president had to do with who was going to place people on the court. Because the courts now rule. Because the American people let them. Because the American people don't know enough about the Constitution to know that the courts have absolutely zero power to enforce their opinions. That what the court euphemistically calls law is not law. It never went through the legislative process. It's merely their opinions. And as human beings, those opinions are often wrong. And since we've spent decades reinforcing this idea that whatever the court says is law, now they don't even come close to paying attention to the Constitution or laws of the United States. But then I heard this very interesting, and to me this is informative. A former senator, Claire McCaskill, was on one of the Sunday morning news programs talking about how the Texas law would get Democrats elected, which to me is a perfect synopsis of politics today. We don't care what's right. We don't care what's legal. We don't care what's constitution. We care what is going to get our side elected. So Claire McCaskill is more than happy being a Democrat because she thinks that this will get more Democrats elected. And again, the American people look at this and say, do we care what the Constitution says? Do we care what the law says? Do we care what we've authorized governments to do or not? Because if we don't, then let's stop pretending we are a republic anymore. If we don't believe that we the people tell the government what it can and cannot do, we are not a republic. We're not even a democracy. We're an oligarchy with a ruling class. And the only difference between America today and the Soviet Union or the communist Chinese is that we freely choose our dictators, but it doesn't make them any less dictators. So when President Joe Biden tells the Federal Trade Commission to draft rules about the right to repair, now this has to do with I think primarily with Apple and the rules that Apple has in place for people who are allowed to repair Apple products. And apparently Joe Biden doesn't like it, so he's going to create rules. Excuse me, I thought laws were created by the legislative branch. But again, we've vested so much power in the executive branch. Congress has traded so much of its power for the ease of letting the executive branch do it and take responsibility for the problems. The American people sit back and we let it happen. If we wish legislation, if we want a law, if we want a rule, then Congress must make it. Congress does not have the legal authority to delegate its legislative power to the executive branch. Or how about Oregon Representative Earl Blumenauer, who introduced legislation to tax commercial space travel. Now, I'm trying to figure out where the authority to tax. Now, would this be an excise tax? Because Congress can't, you know, the idea that Congress simply make up whatever taxes they want to spend on whatever they want proves we have no clue what the Constitution says. Again, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1 of the Constitution says that the Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises. So what kind of tax is this? Is it a duty? Are they paying for something that's being brought into the country? Are they going to be putting imposts and excises on the sale of commercial rocketry? And why does Mr. Blumenauer think it is right and proper to tax commercial space travel? See, I find it very interesting. Well, I find a couple things very interesting. One is that this bill hit shortly after Jeff Bezos flew to the edge of space. Well, that makes it a little suspicious. Not proof, but it makes it a little suspicious. But when Mr. Blumenauer said in an email statement that space exploration isn't a tax-free holiday for the wealthy, just as normal Americans pay taxes when they buy airline tickets, billionaires who fly into space to produce nothing of scientific value should do the same, and then some. Well, first of all, I have a question. Why do you force Americans to pay taxes to buy airline tickets? And who determines what is of scientific value? Based on who, Mr. Blumenauer? Based on you? What about the scientific experiments of testing new launch vehicles? How about just the fact that, you know what? Mr. Bezos is wealthy, and he has the right to spend his money on what he wants. Let's face it, for all the wonderful words you're using, Mr. Blumenauer, you are jealous. You're jealous that someone has the money to build a spaceship and head to the edge of space, and you want your pound of flesh. This is nothing to do with what is right or what is just. This, Mr. Blumenauer, is greed. Again, the timing was interesting, but when you say that, well, the problem is they're going into space and they're producing nothing of value, therefore we must tax them, well, that simply proves all you're doing, you're interested in the money. You want to punish people because they have more money than you do and do things that you find offensive, which proves that you have no interest in freedom and liberty. You're just a petty tyrant that wants to find any excuse to take down people who are doing. How many Americans dream of the opportunity to go into space? And you wish to make it harder for them to do that by taxing space travel. Think about the economic boosts. Sure, today only the rich can afford space travel. Only the incredibly rich can afford space travel. But you know what? There was a time in America when only the incredibly rich could afford flat panel TVs and cell phones. And by allowing that market to grow, to improve the process, what about the scientific benefit of improving the process to make it cheaper and easier to send people into space? Whether it's a suborbital flight, near Earth orbit, or even to the moon. What about the scientific benefit of that? No, Mr. Blumenauer, your words ring hollow. What you really are green with envy and using your position in the federal government to punish people who do things you don't like. So before I head out there, I want to bring you some good news. There is some good news out there, and I want to bring it to you because, let's face it, if we spend all of our time on the doom and gloom, we'd be pretty depressed. So I told you before about a diner in DeBary, Florida, that put up a sign that basically said, if you support Biden and, you know, actually they put it as, if you voted for and continue to support and stand behind the worthless, inept, and corrupt administration currently inhabiting the White House that is complicit in the death of our servicemen and women in Afghanistan, please take your business elsewhere. And I like that. If you don't, you know, we are, you know, this family doesn't support them. They don't want, if you support that administration, they don't want your business. Love it. Well, then I read this. See, that diner was forced to close. Oh no, Paul. Why was that diner forced to close? Well, apparently the reason it was forced to close is because they ran out of food. So many people came to support that diner that they ran out of food. Now, I told my listeners, I said, listen, if you're in that area, go support that diner. I don't know if you did. I don't know how many people did. I'm glad the people in that area of Florida supported this diner to the point where they ran out of food. That shows that there's still a heart in the American citizenry to do what is right, to support those who both support those who protect our freedoms and are willing to stand up against those who are destroying our freedoms. And then there was one more, and this was a little interesting. I hadn't heard about this before, but there was a cafe in Missouri that got shut down because they defied the state's mask mandate. Now, I already told you, mask mandates are illegal. And this whole idea that you need permission from the government in order to be in business is anathema to the American spirit. But this club didn't take it standing down. You know what they ended up doing? See, they were shut down for violating the county's health orders regarding COVID-19. So they simply turned around and says, okay, we're now a private club. As a private club, they're apparently not required to go through the whole masking nonsense that Missouri requires. So on the one hand, I'm a little disappointed because I'd love to see this place saying, listen, we don't serve at your convenience. We are private individuals. This is a private business. We don't force people to come in here. But I do kind of like the cheek to turn around and say, fine, you want to shut us down? We'll simply open as a private entity. You can stuff it. I love to have people that stand up against the tyrants in government. And if I can get out to there, I'd love to come to this cafe and talk with the owners, maybe do a program out there. If you're interested, please contact me. I'd love to see what we can do. But I love the spirit that says we are not going to bow down simply because some bureaucrat thinks we serve at their pleasure, not the other way around. So a round of applause for, I believe it was Ray's Cafe in Jackson County, Missouri, for standing up and doing the right thing by finding a way to stick their finger in the eye of a petty dictatorial bureaucrat. I love it. Now, America Out Loud Talk Radio plays on the iHeartRadio network. You can listen on our media player from any web browser, anywhere in the world. We have the best-in-class apps on Apple, Android, and Alexa, where we stream 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And now you can also hear the podcast on those apps as well. So download the app, head to the website, and join me here next time for the Constitution Study.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.